Welcome, everyone, to the Township's Daily News Bits. Holly Bailey here, bringing you news and events that matter to townshippers. This is a two-part series featuring the scientist Diana Beresford Kroger. We present to you now the second part of this conversation that was initially held over at the Knowlton Literary Festival earlier this fall. Dr. Beresford Kroger's a world-renowned scientist in botany, biology, and biochemistry, and she presented at the festival her latest book entitled Our Green Heart, The Soul and Science of Forests. So in this part of the conversation, she jumps into AI and what it costs us on the backside to use this artificial intelligence, along with the genome design, the connectedness of all, and our beta brainwaves and how the world works. Sit back and digest this lovely lady's teachings and learned view of life. Artificial intelligence, and we're putting that before
people. Oh no, artificial intelligence. Oh, don't get me going on that. My father-in-law was a very smart man. He was second in command of the Apollo system, and he was considered to be a genius. And before he died, he said something to me that I will always remember. Diana, they can torture you, which he was tortured. He was thrown into jail by Hitler. And he said, they can break your body, but if they start breaking your mind, we're dead as a species. And he said that to me, and it's something I remember because I really respected him. He was one hell of a clever man. And it's true, and that's what AI does. It steals the creativity out of everybody's mind and uses it for fodder,
right,
and throws it away, and then expect us as slaves to pay for the huge amount of water that has to be used for the cooling towers and for the cooling of the machinery to do AI. And we need four times the amount of energy on the planet, increase it 400 times or something, a huge amount to increase the energy of the planet. I'm sorry. Is it a choice of having AI or food for people? I think the choice is food. So that means there'll be all kinds more people on the streets and in tent cities because of AI? I don't think so.
It's like we are handing over our privacy, our well-being, our spirit for convenience.
Yes, we are.
And I don't think people see it that way. And I'm like, really?
They're lazy.
It might be faster, but is it better? Are you happier? Are you healthier?
Yeah. Yeah, they're lazy, and they think that when they see rivers coming out of the sky, that's happening maybe in northern India and happening in different places in the world. Even in Canada, it's been happening out on the West Coast, and the terrible flooding. Oh, well, that's in somebody else's backyard. But I have news for you. It's coming to your backyard fairly soon.
Isn't it?
Because there's an exponential factor to temperature. You increase atmospheric temperature, you increase all biological and organic reactions in the world. That's including infection of diseases. You increase the temperature and you're up the creek.
Whoa.
So we are now taking our ability to be imaginative away from us. And imagination means creation of music, creation of the arts. And the arts are vital, in my opinion. Creation within science, creation with everything that has to do with our mental abilities. And we're taking them away from people and then using it as fodder for somebody who doesn't need it, who's just making money off you. And I had a taste of that. All of my books were hijacked. Were hijacked a number of years ago. And it wasn't I noticed it. It was my husband, Chris. He was doing some reading, and he does a lot of outside, you know, general reading. And he said, God almighty, Diana, look at what they're doing to you. They're stealing all of your books. And they were publishing my books and put them on the internet. And so anyway, the lawyers at Penguin Random House got rid of them. But now with AI, they can take everything and lie. Who's got the money? Do you think all of us people just who are working have the money to pay for the lawyers, the giant lawyers that we would have to use to argue our case for AI? None of us have that kind of cash.
No. No, we don't. Or time, or
an inclination.
Wow.
Or even an inclination. I mean, it's nasty. Like, I mean, my parents were killed. And I was in the courts from the age of 12 to the age of 21. I had my master's degree and I was still in the courts. I was still curtailed by the courts.
With a 10 p.m. curfew,
yeah,
I
that's
read.
Right, 10 p.m. curfew.
Jeez Louise.
And all the boyfriends I had, sorry, boys, I have to be home at 10 o'clock. Well, it was a good excuse because I'd like to go to bed and murder a couple of people in my books. But they understood I had to be home. I had to be home. But they never really knew. They never really knew that I was under, you know, I was under the veil
court
of
order.
The courts. Yeah, and I had to appear in court four times a year with my uniforms and pretty little girl and sit in there and you shut up and you say yes, you say no. Oh, I know the arm and the strength of the law. It's scary, scary, scary.
How can we take our power back as people, as a society, as our choice? Like, we vote with our money.
It's a simple thing. It's called community. Community and friendship. People know their computers, but they don't know their best friend anymore.
Right.
We need friends. I need friends. I don't have enough friends. I really, real friends, I'm talking. I have lots of people who say they know me,
right,
but they don't know me. And that deep friendship where you give your life up for somebody. Yeah, I have some friends, but I don't have enough friends, and I'd like to have more friends.
Right. You might have 400 followers or all these connections, but really, who do you call when you need to have a cup
me.
Of tea?
Yeah, me, when I want my cup of tea. When I want a good, strong cup of tea. And, you know, and somebody asked me, how do you like your eggs done? Well, I like it dead, or I like my meat dead, you know, before it goes on the plate.
And real meat, please.
Yes.
You know, that lived, breathed, and ate
yeah,
grass.
That's
and
right.
Ran. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. So it's community. Community is very important. I've seen community disappear in my time here. And I've seen the obligation of very rich people no longer feel the obligation of the poor.
Mm.
And of people who don't have money. And I will say, I have a student fund, but not so much in this last couple of years because I've been very busy. But I've had, you know, kids, street kids. The Time Will Tell book, that money's from that book goes into the street kids. Because I've got some of them going through university.
Wow.
And some of them need mathematics. The girls need math. So they come to me and see if they can get some money for some math. And they're all doing very well, thank you very much.
Excellent.
That's a little bit, you know, just helping by a little bit, you know, and just doing a little bit here and a little bit there. And yeah, I've done other stuff, like kind of one person can do something very big. When there was the war on in Bosnia, Herzegovina, what I did is a friend of mine sent me all the Acala species of hellebores from those mountainous areas because they were being landmined.
Oh.
So he put them into express post to me and he was shot just after that. And I grew them all. I had a giant field of like little soldiers coming up and I had an auction. And all of the money from that auction, it was a proper auction with a proper auctioneer. And I paid for the safe house at Tuzla. And I paid for all the machinery going into Tuzla, all the medicine going into Tuzla. And I know as of the last, it would be 6 months, what happened to the women. And the women with their babies, they got out of Tuzla. All of them did.
Wow.
And how it happened, I was in the Fitzherbert Hotel in New York, and I was late going in, and there was a woman in my room. I was given a suite because I was doing a big lecture thing down there. And she was in my room, and she got very upset. And I said, "You're working here. Like, I'm late. It's okay. You can put the rose on my pillow if you want to," which is what she was doing, and a chocolate. So she said, "You've got an accent." I said, "Yeah, I'm Irish." And she looked at me. She said, "You're Diana, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "You saved my life." She got out of Herzegovina with a baby on her hip. She made it out. And then I said, "Did the others make it out? They're all working in hotels. Mm. They're trying to raise their grandchildren." So that's just one thing, one person.
That's extraordinary.
And one then, person. And the person who was in charge of all of this in Medicine Sans Frontières was Nimka Sharp. And she just funneled everything for me. And I just hope to hell that everybody... So one person can make a difference. That's proof.
Right.
That's proof positive.
Right.
If you just do it and get out and do it. And I've done a lot of other things like that. So what I call that is philanthropy of the mind. I don't have the money. I will never have the money, which is perfectly okay. But I do have the mind.
Yes,
and
you
do.
I do have
a sneaky ability. I see something that's wrong, and I'll try and fix it if I can. Or get people to help me to fix it.
When there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And then people join you. Like, you don't need to know how, but you just start.
Yeah, the flood. The flood goes. Yeah, the flood starts.
Mm.
See, I have great respect for the kids, the teenagers now. You know, would you want to be a teenager now? Oh, God, no.
Absolutely not.
If you want to be a little girl, teenager, female teenager, and they're under so much pressure. God, it takes so much guts for them to be even nice to you, I think, honestly. So I think one person can make a difference.
And as a society and population, I heard people in your presentation after asking, what can we do?
Yeah.
And you mentioned to contact Parliament.
Contact Parliament, send them a letter. Get an envelope, a piece of paper, and say, "I do not like what you're doing. Please look after the environment." Sign your name. Send it off. You don't even need a stamp. One letter. They get terrified if they start getting letters like that. The politicians get terrified because it means that they're not going to get voted back. And they like money, and they like their pensions. And that threatens their pensions. And if it threatens their pensions, they think again.
They'll mobilize.
So they'll mobilize. See, that's all you need to do. And I have a dream, too. I want Canada to stand up tall in the world.
Why not?
There's a fantastic countryside. There are Aboriginal people here. They're fantastic. Some of these are unbelievable, wonderful people. They're out there. I mean, there I know there's some crooked people, too. I mean, I know that. But I want Canada to stand up and say, "We're doing this for the environment. We're doing innovative work with our trees, our forests. We are doing clothing for a northern part of the hemisphere. We are redesigning our cars and all of our buggies for a northern climate. And we are redesigning them so that we're reducing the amount of petroleum needed. Do the concept of hybrid batteries. Do it here and do it now and not destroy all of the boreal forest. Do it here. We can do it. If we can send billions and billions for planes for, you know, so-called protecting the country from the odd seagull in the sky, we could certainly put that money into the young people graduating out of mechanical engineering and saying, "Here is $1 million for the best design." It's just a simple thing to do. And I'll tell you, those boys would work and those girls would work on design. And design it for what we have here. No, design it for what we have. I mean, and all kinds of things, like we have curtains on our windows. Why can't we have those curtains redesigned to solar plates or something like that?
To collect the energy.
Yeah. Why can't we do that? And molecular energy of walking up the stairs. Say, walking up the stairs, you're generating enough work, a force of work, to make a light bulb go on. Like, why can't we do some stuff like that? And our roads, why can't we put down, you know, some pigmentation on the roads that lasts forever? Why can't we do this?
I think we can.
Yeah, I know.
It's a choice.
Absolutely, it's a choice.
You're tuned in to 99.1, and these are the Township's Daily News Bits. This is a special feature with Dr. Diana Beresford Kroger. We have one segment of the conversation left for you here, where she speaks about what makes her hopeful today, what she's searching for, and the frequency of unity.
I want to ask you, what has you curious these days, or what gives you hope?
What I'm looking for. I'm always looking for answers to cancer, right? I'm always scanning, always putting things together, because I've got a memory for molecular, photographic memory for formula. So the Haworth formulas that I learned when I was 17, I still know them, can still draw them. Like, I don't know, I've got a weird mind. So I'm always looking for cancer. I'm always looking for a way of the old medicines to hitch them into a new set of thinking for cancer studies. And the Sacred Tree of the First Nation is an example of that, the Petunia trifoliata. So that's in this new book that's not out yet, all those kind of things. The other thing I'm very intrigued about is sentience.
Okay.
Like here, you and me. Your brain is producing a new kind of brainwave that we haven't discovered before. It's called a beta brain. And it's from the central part of your brain, and it's very difficult to study. And it comes with new non-verbal communication. You and I are non-verbally communicating right now.
Absolutely.
You're sitting in a chair in front of me. I admire the blouse you're wearing. It looks lovely. That's non-verbal. That's the thought in my head. You're very relaxed, and I'm very relaxed with you. I feel as though I've known you a long time, actually. It's like we've met in other worlds. It's like there's a sympathy there between us. I can't describe it. It's there. That's what our brains are doing. Also, the other part of the beta wave, and the beta wave is a very fierce electromagnetic wave, which has very high, the highest energy wave coming out of the body, and it can be picked up in the EEC machines.
Okay.
This can actually be picked up, except we don't know a lot. It's how we're spatially arranged with place to the earth. Think about it. You have got your feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have your feet on the ceiling. You don't have your hands on the walls. We are spatially connected and interconnected. The trees are spatially connected with us. They have knowledge of that. We have knowledge of the trees in the same formula of the beta wave. And the beta wave goes out right out of throughout the solar system. We don't know what it's doing. We have no idea. So I'm very interested. There's like, you think about this too. You meet a whole lot of people, and one person sings to you. Not
absolutely.
Sings, one person.
You're magnetically drawn to them.
And yeah. There's a concentration in that. There's actually a loss of energy in that too, that you're producing energy and fixing it with the other person. That really is happening. And, you know, a form of telepathy, I call it string telepathy. There are some people that I know what they're doing at any time of the day or night. I can tell you whether they're sick, whether they're well, but it's not everybody I have that string telepathy with. And I'll know quite often, I'll think of calling them and I get the call immediately. And Stuart, my agent, first of all, thought I was joking with them. I don't have a recall, I have an ordinary old phone at home. And I think about calling him and he'll call me. And quite often, he used to say, you've got, you know, your number is repeated on the phone, you've got phone call. And I said, no, I don't. And when he came and visited my house for the first time, he charged over to the phone to see if I was telling the truth. And he said, no, you don't have any. You don't
Thank
have
you.
Any phone. And I said, no, Stuart, I told you what I do. But I think everybody can be trained to do that. I think we can do or throw our minds out into different things.
The quantum web.
Yep, that's right.
We're all in this together, and we're better together.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's the quantum lifting of your hemoglobin with your iron, changing valencies all the time, tick-tock, 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 is making you alive, is giving you the ability to produce these waves. Same thing for me. The tick-tock, tick-tock is happening in the tree with the chlorophyll. The chlorophyll has magnesium, tick-tock, tick-tock, same thing. That tree knows of you.
Wow.
See? So it's a quantum structure. Whoever thought there was quantum mechanics going in a tree or going in a daisy or going in life? But that's the design. That's the genomic design. We are very close in our genome to a tree. Just two base differences. Just two base going around in the spiral difference. So all the things that would be in us, like serotonin, tryptophan, tryptamine, all of the neural ganglia things, they're all in a tree too. So what the heck are they doing in the tree? So I do ask that question, and I'm always looking for answers to transpiration. I'm quite often doing experiments in the house for transpiration, and it would be good if I ever got a big prize for it, but I have certain ideas about it, how water can ascend 400 feet.
It's amazing. Like, I read that in your book. We still don't know.
We still don't know.
We're so intelligent and bright, but we need to embrace.
Yeah, and the tree is doing something else. The tree is doing something else. Right now, I'm looking at that tree. It's liberating label compounds, and the label means that they can fly. And sometimes it's just like the Apollo system. You have a staging ground, and then you have something, an acceleration for the rocket, and the rocket goes. They do exactly the same thing on a tree, exactly the same thing as we found 50 years ago on the Apollo system, but they're putting labile molecules into the air with like a dog with a tail on it, and the tail is a hydroxyl group or a methyl group, but that can pick up all kinds of things, and that starts our weather patterns. They cut down the trees in the Aztecs, cut down their trees, and other nations have cut down their trees, and everything is bare. And so what happens is that the label compounds can no longer make weather, and it's the same thing as all the leaves falling on the ground can no longer influence the oceans. The oceans don't have enough iron. And if there is a famine on land, there's a famine in the ocean. Who knew that? And that's research out of Japan. And the man who did that research had 40 people working for him, and he worked for 40 years.
That's in your documentary, I believe.
Matsunaga. And Matsunaga, oh my God. When I met Matsunaga and Akira Maiwaki in Japan, it's like we were clung together. It's like nobody could really interfere with us. We were just talking about characterization of chemicals, how you character, what kind of tube you put them in. Yeah, what would you do? What can you do now? How did you find this? I mean, like, we were standing on gravel and by the ocean, and I think we stood there for about a couple of hours, and all the camera crew were all waiting. They were really mad at us, but we wouldn't be stopped.
Oh, wow.
You know, and he's just a wonderful man. Nikira Maiwaki was just a wonderful person. And he came walking up to me. Japanese don't behave this way. And he caught my hand and he sat down next to me. And he held my hand and he said, now I'm no longer alone. And I felt that. And I felt he died last year. I feel his spirit is wafting around here. It's causing trouble somewhere, wafting around here somewhere. And I feel that he was able to tell me just, you're doing the right thing. And I had a real tremendous experience with the Sugi trees. And the Sugi sacred trees at a festival in Japan. And there's this giant, it was 55 feet in circumference. I mean, we're talking enormous trees. And I had a feeling the tree was calling me. And I told all of the crew to turn off their machines and turn off their cameras and everything. I said, I've got something private to do and don't phone me. So I went to the tree around the back of the tree. There were steps all around the tree. And it was all set up in beautiful braided papers all around the tree in Japanese style. And the tree said to me, I called you from across the ocean. I called you to be here. And my whole body went freezing cold. I don't know, maybe it's beta waves, I don't know. But I knew that tree was telling me I was on the right path, that I was doing the right thing. I may not succeed, but I was doing the right thing. And then after that, the head of the Shinto religion, which would be equivalent to a pope, I told him what happened, and he said, you strong spirit. And he, the pope, looked after me all the time that I was there. All the time, personally, he became my servant. I was weird. It was just really weird.
Well, they recognized your beauty and then, your work.
And they asked me, the Dalai Lama's crowd there asked me what they wanted to thank me, give me a thank you for what I had done for them. And I said, I want you to ring the bell of peace over Tokyo. And they have a huge bell in their church, I suppose, I don't know what they call their church, their meeting place. And it's a huge bell, and the resonance of the bell is just, well, and they rang the bell for peace. But it's just in waves, it goes in waves through you, in waves. And like the waves, I think, are forever. And I was there kneeling in front of the bell, and I prayed for peace for the world. That's what I want.
That's what we need.
That's what we need.
You are a force of nature. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your work. Welcome. Thank you for being you. Thank you for continuing on this
And I can. Work. I'm going to say to you something now in Gaelic. Beg dialat agus gamectum yo agus ganairidu. This is from the 5th century in Ireland. May the spirit walk with you. That's God, any God, any God. Agus gamectum yo, may you be fully alive. Agus ganairidu, and out of that life of your body, may you rise and do great things.
Same to you. Thank you.
What a brilliant mind and a shining star of a soul. Thank you to Dr. Beresford Kroger for her time and her sharing of wisdom, old and new. Thank you to the Knowlton Literary Festival and the organizers who helped coordinate this interview, along with the doctors Stuart Berenstein, her agent. And thank you to the Local Journalism Initiative, funded through the Government of Canada, for making this all possible. I'm Holly Bailey, signing off, and we'll leave you with a little song that just feels right for right now, here on 99.1.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful